platform.
The former president holding a rally this afternoon in Wilmington, North Carolina. Polls showing the race closing and getting tighter, and in some cases, Harris picking up momentum in key swing states. Israelis are demonstrating in Tel Aviv, continuing demands for Benjamin Netanyahu's government to seal the deal on a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release agreement. Voting has ended in Sri Lanka's presidential election. Results expected Sunday. The country is working to emerge from the worst economic crisis in history. And in Germany, crowds turning out for the first day of Oktoberfest in Munich. This is ABC. In Maryland, federal agents boarded a commercial ship today in Baltimore. It's owned by the same company of that troubled ship that destroyed the Francis Key Bridge in March.
Federal agents boarded the Maersk Sal Toro in the port of Baltimore, a ship operated by the same company as the Dolly, the ship that crashed into and destroyed the Key Bridge in March. The FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office say the agents from the FBI, Coast Guard, and the Criminal Investigation Division of the EPA were conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. Earlier this week, the Justice Department sued the Dolly's owner and manager, alleging they cut corners and ignored electrical problems. Brian Clark, ABC News.
In Michigan, the family of a toddler who wandered off last week and got lost in a corn maze is crediting a canine for a dramatic rescue. Once Bane got the scent of the boy's shirt, he darted off the corn stalks. Here's Erie Township Deputy Deck Hall.
It was amazing. He was in about 10 rows or 10 stalk rows in.
Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Are awarded grants to set aside some of their fresh produce and other items that get picked up and distributed to hunger relief sites. The Wisconsin Farmers Union helps lead the effort, and the organization's Forrest Humphrey says one of the benefits is helping smaller farms expand their markets.
This guaranteed income has allowed farms to invest in their operations and do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do because we've been able to provide some stability through some unpredictable growing seasons.
And for people seeking help from hunger relief groups, their outcomes might improve if food insecurity becomes one less thing to worry about. Researchers say there's debate over just how effective locally grown food is in reducing emissions when focusing on how products are delivered. Still, Humphrey points out that a number of the small farms signed up for the program prioritize climate-friendly practices.
We have producers, for example, who are providing some really, really high-quality grass-fed beef into the program. And the reason that they're able to do that is because they have, you know, a really sophisticated managed grazing setup on their farms.
Officials say so far it has served 70 counties across Wisconsin with nearly $3 million worth of food delivered. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a shower or thunderstorm. We'll see a high near 82. For tonight, showers and storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and lows in the low 50s. Things turn cooler for Sunday with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Mostly sunny with a high near 69 on Monday.
Currently 69 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris' stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the revolution, friends. What is going on? We got another week here. Holy cow. This is just flying by. This is crazy. And we've got a really special episode today. We have two incredible guests. And so we're going to get right to it, which first off, if you missed some of our last episodes, they're all available online. Head to civicmedia.com, search the Rational Revolution. Last week, we talked to Congressman Mark Pocan. He's incredible. I said that was probably one of my favorite episodes that I recorded, because what an incredible, kind, just a genuine dude. And it was such an honor to talk to him, and I really hope we get to do it again. He talked about coming on the show and doing a Project 2025 whole episode. And so we are working on setting that up, and I hope to do that here before the election, because that is some information that does need to be shared. However, we have a very, very special guest here. For the first couple of segments here, we have the Harris Walls campaign manager for the state of Wisconsin, Mr. Garen Randolph. Dude, oh my gosh, hi.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for...
I'm a little worried because you said Mark was your favorite episode, so I guess, yeah. I don't know how I'm feeling about that.
Hey, we got time, man. We can turn this around. No, he's I'm sure you've met him. What a guy. Like, what an awesome, just a genuine, wonderful person.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we are lucky to have him represent Wisconsin, and I think that, you know, he's been a great friend of the state of Wisconsin and a great friend to our campaign. You know, he's been out working just as hard as anybody for the last, you know, year. So
we really
appreciate everything Mark does.
He really has been. We kind of talked about how he's crisscrossing the state and just, you know, his travel schedules is nuts. So what a good representative of the possibilities that can happen under a Kamala Harris and Tim Walz administration. Which, speaking of.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, hey, hot off the presses, I've got a statement here and I want to get you to react to it. You, I'm sure, have seen it, but from Teamsters Joint Council 39, the Teamsters of Wisconsin, they represent over 15,000 workers across the state of Wisconsin. They have endorsed officially, Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, excuse me. And the statement reads, as vice president of the most pro-union administration ever, Kamala Harris worked with the Teamsters and other unions to pass the historic Butch Lewis Act, which has saved pensions of over a million retirees to date. As president, Kamala Harris will build on those efforts and work with Congress to pass the PRO Act, ending union some of the most egregious union busting tactics for once and for all. In contrast, Donald Trump tried to gut workers' rights as president by appointing union busters to the NLRB, advocating for national right to work, and Trump's 2025 project 2025 would go even further. They keep going on, but they said they are proud to endorse Harris Walls for president and vice president. What say you about that?
Yeah, look, Mark, we are honored to have their support. I think that it is important to have the local union support, right? Like, these are the workers, that the union that represents workers here in Wisconsin. And like you said, over 15,000 workers across the state, and they're on board for the campaign for the same reasons that we've been talking about. You know, there are two very clear visions for this country in this election. You know, one is the vision of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz that is working to, you know, lower costs for middle class families, working to protect our freedoms, working to make sure that our democracy remains intact. And that is a pretty clear contrast with the other side of this. You know, Donald Trump is pushing a dark backward vision for the rest of for the future of this country. You know, that includes an agenda that gives him unprecedented, unchecked power to go after his political enemies. It gives him a chance to do the same thing he did when he was in office last time. and give handouts out to corporations and his rich friends while leaving middle-class families behind. He's going to continue to attack healthcare. He's going to continue to attack reproductive rights. He's going to continue to undermine our democracy if the elections don't shake out in the way he wants it to. So I think that it's a real honor to have the Teamsters on board. We've seen unions and unions, elected officials, organizations from across the state joining the campaign. I think that you're just going to continue to see more and more people joining the charge here, because there's a lot at stake this November, and all these groups know that.
Yeah, and it was they do point out as well in their press release that the Joint Council Executive Board they unanimously endorsed Kamala Harris. So I mean that's cool too. And I'm a child of a union. My dad was a mailman for how many years? So I mean I understand you know what's at stake here with unions as well. But so we got less than 50 days to the election. How is your stress level?
we're doing all right. We're excited. You know, I think that we're in the home stretch here. I keep telling people today's day 47. We've got 47 days to elect the 47th president of the United States.
There you go, yeah.
So I just told the team that this morning. The stress levels are just as high as they always are at the end of a campaign, but we're ready. You know, this is a team that is not new. We've been building this for a long time now. This is the same team that has had a lot of success over the last few years here in Wisconsin. This is the team that delivered the White House to Joe Biden in 2020, delivered the governor's mansion back to Tony Evers in 2022, flipped the Supreme Court last year. Like, we have been doing the work for a long time. This didn't just start with, Vice President Harris's campaign or with President Biden's campaign, frankly. A lot of these staff were here. These are the same people that know how to win Wisconsin. And we have the biggest infrastructure we've ever had. You know, there's almost 50 offices across the state. We've got over 200 staff on the ground. The staff on the ground are mostly organizers talking to voters, and not just talking to voters in Milwaukee and Madison. You know, we've got organizers in all counties that Donald Trump won. We've got offices in counties that Donald Trump won. We are leaving no stone unturned, and we're making sure that we're talking to folks about the stakes of the election. So while the stress levels are high, it's going to be a close election like it always is, but you know, we know what the stakes are. We've built the team to do it, and we're excited to finish this off and get the job done and beat him again, just like we did 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was midweek last week. I was called by an organizer from Oconto County. That's where I live in that county. And like, it was a great conversation, because I was like, hey, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the Lord's work up here, man, because this is not exactly like super blue. So, you know, I didn't realize that you had 50 offices. That's crazy.
And I do think it's important to point out, you know, that's a great example. We're not just talking to Democrats with our team. You know, we are talking to independents. We're talking to Republicans. Like, there is a home in our campaign for Republicans that are over the craziness here. There's a home for people that are tired of the chaos, for Republicans that aren't supportive of this radical Project 2025 agenda. You know, we are reaching out to everyone across the aisle, and we are building a coalition of folks that isn't just your normal Democratic base. You know, we are talking to voters in every corner of the state, regardless of what party they are and regardless of where they live.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the theme for today's show is reaching across the aisle and building that coalition. So I'm sure you know my background, but I was a chairman of the Brown County Republican Party. And, you know, in everything that I tried to do, it was like try to bring people into the tent. The Republican Party loves to gloss themselves as the big tent party, which now is absolutely not the case. But it's really, you know, falling onto the shoulders of the Democrats and trying to, you know, build their sphere of influence, open up the tent to people that are, like you say, disenfranchised. How is that going?
You know, I think it's going well. You saw in the debate last week, the vice president mentioned this, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are over this. You know, there's a lot of people that are tired of the divisiveness that we've seen over the last 7, 8 years, whatever it is now, years of Donald Trump running for office. People are ready to move on and have, you know, stop thinking about this crazy and, you know, negative political rhetoric and start having real conversations about moving this country forward. And that's what our campaign has been about this entire time. We're not litigating past elections. We're not, you know, airing past grievances. Kamala Harris is a vision for the future of this country. And that is a vision for the future that, you know, is making sure that middle-class families have a chance to not just get by, but get ahead. You know, it's making sure that people maintain the freedoms that they've had for years and that we're not taking this country backwards. And that message is resonating. You're seeing that with Republicans both in-state and nationally, and I think you kind of hit it on the head with the bigger tent here. I mean, when's the last time you had Republicans speaking at the Democratic National Convention?
We are
making sure that we are bringing people in here, and people are responding to that message. You saw a letter earlier this week with 100 Republicans nationally supporting the Harris-Wallace ticket. You've got former Trump cabinet members that are coming out endorsing us. You've got, former Republican elected officials like Liz Cheney coming out. How often do you see those people endorse
and Democrats? Her dad?
And her dad, right? Like, this is not about Democrat versus Republican. Right. This is about right versus wrong.
Yes.
And I think I really do, like you included, like I do applaud the courage of Republicans from across the state and people, current and former Republicans that are willing to step up and say, hey, this isn't right. We have to turn the page here. And we are reaching out to those people actively. And I think the response has been great.
I think that, and obviously we don't want to look ahead, but of course that's what, we do that. But like the Democratic Party has such an opportunity to open their tent and to expand not just people who will vote for Kamala Harris, but people who will vote for, Elizabeth Warren and people who will vote for Tammy Baldwin. And Democrats all over the place. Pete Buttigieg, all of them, up and down, wherever they are, they have such an opportunity to grow their party and grow their grassroots organization. As long as, God willing, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz win, how do they keep this? How do they keep this momentum going and keep these people, listening and engaged?
I would say I've had this conversation with you before, and I would say that the Republican Party had an opportunity to move past Donald Trump.
Oh, God, they did. Yes.
And they did, right? And so I think you're exactly right. Like these people that are completely disaffected by what's going on that side they're the people we're talking to. And I would say, you mentioned a bunch of national Democrats, but I also think it's important to point out, we have huge opportunity in state right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have new maps for the first time in a very long time. And part of the infrastructure that I mentioned earlier is the same infrastructure that's working to elect Democrats to the state assembly, to the state senate across the state. And you're going to see the fruits of that pretty soon. I think that we have a real shot to make a dent in the state legislature and have a state that looks very different. And having a state that looks different will make it a lot easier for Governor Evers and a lot easier for soon-to-be President Kamala Harris to help deliver for Wisconsinites. So I think that's important, too. So I do think that we have an opportunity here to talk to a whole new group of voters that are listening to us. And I think that it's an opportunity to bring folks into the tent, not just for this election, but for moving forward. We are showing a different vision than the Republican Party is. And the Republican Party's vision that they're pushing this election is out of touch with what Wisconsinites want. That's just the case. People are not into this Project 2025 agenda. It is radical. Right. People do not think the president should have unchecked power. these are things that are basic tenets of our democracy. And I think that we have a real opportunity to reach these voters right now and have them moving forward.
We do, yeah.
And Representative, we're gonna do everything we can to do that.
Right, exactly. Representative democracy is a cool thing, and we're going to continue this discussion here on the other side with Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for President, Garen Randolph.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Wisconsin's volunteers are making a difference in our communities every single day. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org. You can filter by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more, all to help find the best fit for you. Go to volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the show. Oh my goodness. So we're continuing our discussion with the man himself, the dude in charge of the Wisconsin Harris for President campaign, Mr. Garen Randolph. I wanted to, back in 2016, what were you up to?
2016, I was doing a local race and still doing campaigns here in Wisconsin. So I remember 2016 oh too well.
So I'm not a pessimist. I swear to God, I'm not. Some people that listen to my show would, with all of my doom and gloom, I talk about how much the Republicans suck. Like, they might think I am that, but I am ever the optimist. However, I remember 2016 like it was yesterday, and I remember how every single poll that came out, like Real Clear Politics, which is like an average of all the polls that come out, had Hillary Clinton her lead over 6%. Like it was well outside the margin of error, to the point where she kind of like pulled some of her events and stuff from Wisconsin. And then we all know what happened. And I'm so nervous about that because we have 538, which is, all the other polls and everything. Harris is up by 1.6, which is awesome. That's great. But holy crap, that is within the margin of error. What are we doing, man? Like how do we not have a repeat?
No, I hear you, and I would point to yes, that did happen in 2016, but I also point to in 2020, the average polling lead for Joe Biden was like 8 points, and we won by 20,000 votes.
Yeah,
because unlike 20, we didn't take our foot off the gas, and that's exactly what we're doing this time around. So I hear your concern, and I think you're right to be asking this question, but like this is. This campaign is going to run through Election Day.
Right on.
We will have the candidates here, as you saw. We have the vice president here tomorrow.
Yes.
We had Governor Walz in Wausau last week. We don't, you don't see a presidential candidate show up in Wausau that often, right? Like we are in every corner of the state, and we are making sure that that doesn't happen. We are not reading these polls. Whatever the polling average says, great. This race is tied. This is still Wisconsin, and it's going to look like it has in the past. We are going to need every single vote, and we're going to talk to every single voter. And I do fully expect Election Day to be extremely close.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that we keep, the message we keep drilling into our voters and to our supporters is, this thing is not over.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can win. We have to beat him. This is not something that's going to be handed to us. It is our job over the next 47 days to make sure that we knock on every door, to make sure that we make every phone call, to make sure that we talk to our friends and family, show up at events, whatever it takes, because if we don't put in that work for the next 47 days, November's going to feel a lot more like 16 than it did 20, yeah. And we can't let that happen.
No, we can't.
We are committed to finishing this off.
I want to talk about, what the campaign I don't know how to even say this, but like, the buzzword is weird, right? And, everything from candidates not pronouncing Kamala Harris's name correctly to something that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that was actually really, really disgusting. And if you don't know what she said, listeners out there, what she made mention to is she said that she has, children at home that make her humble, and Vice President Harris doesn't have anything that keeps her humble. And like, what a disgusting, insulting thing. But it's not uncommon. I mean, this is time and time and time again. Like in the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell is going on out there?
I think there's a couple pieces to this. First of all, what you are seeing from all of these surrogates like Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Laura Loomer and all these people that are coming out is an actual reflection of Donald Trump.
Yes.
This is Donald Trump. Just because his campaign has been able to rehearse him and occasionally keep him on message, this is how he thinks. But it also is a distraction from the campaign that they're running. You know, they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Right.
This campaign is about grievances of the past. It's about Trump getting revenge for an election he lost 4 years
ago. Staying out of prison.
I didn't even want to go there, but I'll give you that one.
I'll go there.
But this, you know, our campaign is looking for. We're talking about lowering costs for voters. We're talking about lowering taxes for the middle class and making sure millionaires pay their fair share. We're talking about lowering health care costs. We're talking about increasing public safety. Our campaign is talking about the things that voters are interested in hearing, and Trump's campaign is not. And they see this, as you said, you know, weird, crazy stuff, because they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Yeah.
So voters are looking for an answer to what's next, and he doesn't have that. So you continue to see this stuff to distract from that. But I think it is important that, you know, as some of this stuff does seem, you know, crazy and out of left field, like, we have to listen to what they're saying, because Donald Trump's agenda for another 4 years is crazy and radical and out of left field. You know, Donald Trump left our country in chaos last time he was president. And he didn't have a plan then. He has a plan now. You know, he has a plan to, you know, do tax cuts again to give handouts to his rich friends. He has a plan to restrict reproductive freedoms. He has a plan to undermine democracy. He has a plan to let him do whatever he wants without any consequences. And that stuff is scary.
It is
so
scary.
I think that making sure that voters see that and they don't get too caught up in, you know, some of this wild rhetoric, because there are real things at stake here. And, you know, I think that Trump's campaign is doing everything they can to distract people.
They are. And I think, you know, there is the doom and gloom, but I also think that there is such optimism and such positivity coming from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You can see it in the places they go. You can see it in the faces of people who they meet. And it's not an anger or a bitterness or, you know, this is something that we need to get revenge for. It's just unadulterated hope and love for the country. Like, it's so cool. It's so refreshing. We've got 30 seconds. I do want you to comment on that part of that.
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing amazing excitement across the state since she became a candidate. I mean, we had almost 20,000 people in Milwaukee. We had 16,000 people show up for a rally in Eau Claire. We haven't done anything like that. I mean, the excitement that we're seeing from both attendees, from the hundreds of thousands of volunteers that have signed up to help out the campaign is great. You know, Wisconsinites are ready to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and turn the page and move this country forward. And I think that, you know, seeing them and having them continue to talk about, you know, hope and joy and moving the country forward is exactly what's fueling this.
Yeah, it is awesome, and I'm so glad that you spent some time out of your freaking crazy schedule with us. And you know, if you're free, you're a friend of the show, come on. I'd love to do a different campaign update as things get further on here.
Absolutely, I'll be back. Thank
Garen
you
Randolph, thank you so much.
Thank
you
for all you're doing.
Keep up the work, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. And we'll be right back on the Rational Revolution after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With just 45 days before Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris today accepting an offer for a second debate against former President Donald Trump. ABC's Jay O'Brien has details.
Harris has agreed to this debate. It would be hosted by CNN, but former President Trump has yet to agree to this, and he's already said in his view, quote, there will be no third debate. He posted that on his social media platform.
The former president holding a rally this afternoon in Wilmington, North Carolina, polls showing the race closing and getting tighter, and in some cases, Harris picking up momentum in key swing states. Israelis are demonstrating in Tel Aviv, continuing demands for Benjamin Netanyahu's government to seal the deal on a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release agreement. Voting has ended in Sri Lanka's presidential election. Results expected Sunday. The country is working to emerge from the worst economic crisis in history. And in Germany, crowds turning out for the first day of Oktoberfest in Munich. This is ABC.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, but I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a shower or thunderstorm. We'll see a high near 82. For tonight, showers and storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and lows in the low 50s. Things turn cooler for Sunday with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Mostly sunny with a high near 69 on Monday.
Right now, it's 70.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll recap the Packers game in Tennessee. And Brittany Merlot joins us for the forecast.
And Grace Hageman joins us from the Croc Center to talk about their Senior Life Expo. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We're going to do a quick pivot from what we just talked about. I'll have thoughts on that here in the next segment. But a quick pivot here is because we've got a pretty famous dude. He is a former Illinois Congressman, Joe Walsh. If you don't know the guy, you know what he said once, and he's the dude that famously said, "If Trump loses, get your muskets." But he's not here for that. He's here for the right reason. How did you go from "If Trump loses, get your muskets" to literally on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Trump happened, Mark.
I should say first, welcome to the revolution, my friend.
Mark, it's great to be with you. Look, when Trump ran in 16, I did support him, and I was on the radio like you, but I was on the radio all over the country.
Yes.
But I honestly didn't pay that much attention to him until after he got elected. And then after he got elected, pretty much every day for the next year and a half, he went south on me. And I finally then came out against him because I consider him to be a threat to our democracy. And no surprise, Mark, when I said that, I lost my conservative radio show.
Weird. There was a guy locally here in Green Bay that did the same thing. And he was a Never Trumper and a friend of Charlie Sykes, who's also a friend of the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to ask, because Charlie Sykes, he was patient zero. He was the first guest on the show. And we talked.
Wow.
He's awesome. He's a really wonderful person.
Yeah.
I told him that, you know, he's been the super high integrity guy that I've known and that the state has known for 30 years. But he pushed back on that. And he said, you know, he's had some really seismic changes in his beliefs over the last, you know, 6 years. And his eyes have been really opened. Would you feel the same?
No, it's interesting, and all the respect in the world. I love Charlie Sykes.
He's a great guy.
Great guy. Solid. I'm still, the way I explain it, Mark, was I went to Washington 2010, kind of like Trump did. I was sick of both parties. I'm sick of our political system. I went there because we're bankrupt in future generations. Yeah. I wanted to burn the place down. I was part of that Tea Party wave, but I was a divisive Tea Party asshole. I went there and declared war on everybody. I'm still kind of a libertarian Tea Party guy. I'm just not a jerk or an ass anymore.
That's cool.
And that movement, and I've publicly apologized, Mark, because the Tea Party movement, we helped lead to Trump. No doubt about it. People like me helped lead to the ugly thing that is Trump. So I'm spending the rest of my life trying.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. According to a recent survey, nearly half of all Americans think you can be too old to start saving for retirement. Now listen, my 47-year-old self does not like the idea that I could ever be too old for anything. And I know for sure that the only way anyone can age out of saving for retirement is to actually retire. I mean, yes, of course, you're going to have a bigger nest egg if you start saving young, but older savers have an advantage over the younger ones. People in their 40s and 50s typically make double what their 20-something colleagues make. And the math is clear. You are younger today than you will be at any point in your future. More than half of us are behind in our retirement savings. So don't wait another minute to start. I've got a video that can help you out. Check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge. Waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Good call with the song, Mr. Conrad. Spinning the tunes back behind the glass. That's a nod to Chris Alfheim, who's fighting the good fight out there, running for state senate. So if you see her on the campaign trail, give her a big hug, because we do adore her and we think about her often. So. What a show. We had Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for President, Garen Randolph, and former Congressman Joe Walsh. Well, I hope you enjoyed both of those discussions. That was a real treat. And I think to kind of harken back a little bit, you know, I was planning what I was going to say in my, as Todd the God, our other producer, says, Mark's Musing segment, which maybe that's what we'll call it. I don't know. But the theme of the show today was kind of getting out and reaching, you know, beyond the party. And I have some conversations with my brother, dear friend of the show, John Becker. And, you know, he kind of sometimes gets on me a little bit for trying to, and I don't know what word to use other than like evangelize, right? I try to reach people and evangelize and tell the good word. I grew up Catholic, so whatever. Try to get people to, you know, understand and just reach them and touch them and try to, you know, have them open to a different way of thinking. Because as we said with Joe Walsh, there are conservative arguments for the things that the Democrats are fighting for. There are conservative arguments for pillars that are in Kamala Harris's platform. And so we have to reach out to different people other than the people that we talk to inside our circle. And so it's so cool to see what the Harris campaign is doing, reaching to people, you know, like myself, I guess, or you. But I think one of the overarching themes, too, is we touched on that with Garen Randolph, is the word weird. And I want to talk about that a little bit, or maybe a lot, I don't know. But it's, you know, J.D. Vance is seemingly like embracing this moniker. You know, it's weird. He's making jokes about it, all that. But it's not funny. Like, it's not funny to do what they're doing. It's not funny. And as Garen Randolph said, what they're doing is they are just mirroring the leader of their party. And like they're taking a brush and they're trying to paint their opponents with it. But the problem is the paint that they're using is splattered all over their own chest. And so they're trying to make their opponents exactly what they are. And from everything from continually mispronouncing Vice President Harris's name, you know damn well how to pronounce her name. You're not stupid. Well, maybe sans like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, those that like they're not dumb people. They are smart. They're doing these things with intent. They're doing these things with purpose. And it's not funny when people out there are making this movement their identity. I go pick up my kids from school every day, and there's two big old trucks that drive up with Let's Go Brandon on the back of their window. Like, that's not funny. I mean, it is kind of funny now because it's like, you know, good old boy Brandon's not the nominee, so yeah, you're super cool. But the problem is when that movement is so centered around hate and divisiveness and these little jabs just meant to bully and insult, when hate becomes who you are, it like really, really awful things happen. And I hate to sound doom and gloom and all of that, but that's like, that's where we are. And you have one side who, yes, they have Project 2025, which is disgusting. And I really hope we get that thing with Mark Pocan on here, because that would be, we need to talk about that. But when you have, when you boil everything down to the lowest common denominator, because that's what I try to do about every issue. I try to take myself and my biases and everything that I believe, I try to take it out. And what we're left with in this election is truly a choice between goodness and decency and positivity and not. We have on one side someone who is convicted of 37 felonies, is on trial for dozens more, and and that same person tried to overturn the will of the American people. He tried to overthrow democracy. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. So like, no matter what my political opinions are, you know, people say, oh, are you better off 4 years ago than you were today? But like, it doesn't, to a point, that doesn't matter to me as much as the fact that we have a guy who is a felon who tried to overthrow our government, running to rule the government. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. And so I like Joe Walsh said, he thinks that the party will realign itself after this is all done. God willing, he loses. I'm nervous that they're not going to realign. They're just going to rebrand. And it's up to you to make sure that it doesn't happen. Contact those 50 offices that are in Wisconsin. Get on the phone, knock on some doors. Get out there and join that fight. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I'm Mark Becker from the Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week. Avenue.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Good call with the song, Mr. Conrad. Spinning the tunes back behind the glass. That's a nod to Chris Alfheim, who's fighting the good fight out there, running for state senate. So if you see her on the campaign trail, give her a big hug, because we do adore her and we think about her often. So. What a show. We had Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for president, Garen Randolph, and former Congressman Joe Walsh. Well, I hope you enjoyed both of those discussions. That was a real treat. And I think to kind of harken back a little bit, I was planning what I was going to say in my, as Todd the God, our other producer, says, Mark's Musing segment, which maybe that's what we'll call it. I don't know. But the theme of the show today was kind of getting out and reaching, you know, beyond the party. And I have some conversations with my brother, dear friend of the show, John Becker. And, you know, he kind of sometimes gets on me a little bit for trying to, and I don't know what word to use other than like evangelize, right? I try to reach people and evangelize and tell the good word. I grew up Catholic, so whatever. Try to get people to, you know, understand and just reach them and touch them and try to, you know, have them open to a different way of thinking. Because as we said with Joe Walsh, there are conservative arguments for the things that the Democrats are fighting for. There are conservative arguments for pillars that are in Kamala Harris's platform. And so we have to reach out to different people other than the people that we talk to inside our circle. And so it's so cool to see what the Harris campaign is doing, reaching to people, you know, like myself, I guess, or you. But I think one of the overarching themes too is we touched on that with Garen Randolph, is the word weird. And I want to talk about that a little bit, or maybe a lot, I don't know. But it's, you know, J.D. Vance is seemingly like embracing this moniker. You know, it's weird. He's making jokes about it and all that. But it's not funny. Like, it's not funny to do what they're doing. It's not funny. And as Garen Randolph said, what they're doing is they are just mirroring the leader of their party. And like they're taking a brush and they're trying to paint their opponents with it. But the problem is the paint that they're using is splattered all over their own chest. And so they're trying to make their opponents exactly what they are. And from everything from continually mispronouncing Vice President Harris's name, you know damn well how to pronounce her name. You're not stupid. Well, maybe sans like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, those that like they're not dumb people. They are smart. They're doing these things with intent. They're doing these things with purpose. And it's not funny when people out there are making this movement their identity. I go pick up my kids from school every day. And there's two big old trucks that drive up with Let's Go Brandon on the back of their window. Like, that's not funny. I mean, it is kind of funny now because it's like, you know, good old boy Brandon's not the nominee. So, yeah, you're super cool. But the problem is when that movement is so centered around hate and divisiveness and these little jabs just meant to bully and insult, when hate becomes who you are, it like really, really awful things happen. And I hate to sound doom and gloom and all of that, but that's where we are. And you have one side who, yes, they have Project 2025, which is disgusting. I really hope we get that thing with Mark Pocan on here, because that would be, we need to talk about that. But when you have, when you boil everything down to the lowest common denominator, because that's what I try to do about every issue. I try to take myself and my biases and everything that I believe, I try to take it out. And what we're left with in this election is truly a choice between goodness and decency and positivity and not. We have on one side someone who is convicted of 37 felonies, is on trial for dozens more, and we and that same person tried to overturn the will of the American people. He tried to overthrow democracy. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. So, like, no matter what my political opinions are, you know, people say, "Oh, are you better off 4 years ago than you were today?" But, like, it doesn't, to a point, that doesn't matter to me as much as the fact that we have a guy who is a felon who tried to overthrow our government, running to rule the government. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. And so I, like, Joe Walsh said, he thinks that the party will realign itself after this is all done. God willing, he loses. I'm nervous that they're not going to realign. They're just going to rebrand. And it's up to you to make sure that it doesn't happen. Contact those 50 offices that are in Wisconsin. Get on the phone, knock on some doors. Get out there and join that fight. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I'm Mark Becker from the Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Tuesdays in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With just 45 days before Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris today accepting an offer for a second debate against former President Donald Trump. ABC's Jay O'Brien has details.
Harris has agreed to this debate. It would be hosted by CNN, but former President Trump has yet to agree to this, and he's already said in his view, quote, there will be no third debate. He posted that on his social media platform.
The former president holding a rally this afternoon in Wilmington, North Carolina. Polls showing the race closing and getting tighter, and in some cases, Harris picking up momentum in key swing states. Israelis are demonstrating in Tel Aviv, continuing demands for Benjamin Netanyahu's government to seal the deal on a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release agreement. Voting has ended in Sri Lanka's presidential election. Results expected Sunday. The country is working to emerge from the worst economic crisis in history. And in Germany, crowds turning out for the first day of Oktoberfest in Munich. This is ABC. In Maryland, federal agents boarded a commercial ship today in Baltimore. It's owned by the same company of that troubled ship that destroyed the Francis Key Bridge in March.
Federal agents boarded the Maersk Sal Toro in the port of Baltimore, a ship operated by the same company as the Dolly, the ship that crashed into and destroyed the Key Bridge in March. The FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office say the agents from the FBI, Coast Guard, and the Criminal Investigation Division of the EPA were conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. Earlier this week, the Justice Department sued the Dolly's owner and manager, alleging they cut corners and ignored electrical problems. Brian Clark, ABC News.
In Michigan, the family of a toddler who wandered off last week and got lost in a corn maze is crediting a canine for a dramatic rescue. Once Bain got the scent of the boy's shirt, he darted off the corn stalks. Here's Erie Township Deputy Deck Hall.
It was amazing. He was in about 10 rows or 10 stalk rows in.
Michelle Franz in ABC News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify.